All right, Leviticus chapter 13. Now, last week, praise God, I only had 8 verses. And so if I was to take, well, let's see, technically Leviticus 13, 14, and 15 all go together, but I think instead of 149 verses in one night, that might be a little much. We'll just do chapter 13 tonight and 14 and 15 next week. But they all three go together, and all three are talking about skin diseases. You think, well, why is this important, Pastor Chris? We'll just go see the dermatologist, and we'll get it all fixed up, right? Well, why is this even in the Bible, you might say? Now, all Scripture is inspired by God. Paul told Timothy, right? All Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable, right? So tonight, as we're reading this, there's doctrine. That means there's a plumb line for us as we read this. It teaches us some truth. It teaches us what is right and what is wrong, what is wise and what is foolish. It shows us that. It gives us the doctrine, the plumb. It's profitable for rebuke. That means, listen, if you're on the wrong side of that line, if you're on the wrong side, well, you need to know you're on the wrong side. And it's good to know that someone would tell you, hey, you're on the wrong side. You want that. I should want that as a believer. I love what the psalmist would say, let my brother smite me. Now, that's a real strong term, right? But literally, it's what he says, let a brother smite me. Let it be oil on my head, that someone loves me enough to say, you're on the wrong side. Then Scripture does what? It corrects us. So it means you're on the wrong side. Get over on the right side. And then it instructs us for righteousness so that we grow in righteousness and we're adequate, prepared for every good work. And so as we're reading down through this section, Leviticus 13, a very long section, and I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to highlight several things in it tonight down through about verse 46, because it's talking about skin diseases. And it's interesting that this word that Moses writes for us and God gave us and the Spirit breathed for us, the skin problems are reflected oftentimes with sin problems, okay? The skin problems, the external things that it's going to talk about that are seen, oftentimes give us a picture of things that are affected similarly by sin and that disease of the soul, right? And that all sickness, we realize, is a result of sin. There's a reason that there's natural evil in the world. It's all because of sin, that sin that came into the world through Adam and Eve's choices. And so as we're reading this, we realize that God is speaking to us. And he's speaking to Israel, but we want to relate it to ourselves. The other reason we want to relate it to ourselves is not just because all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for us, but also because Jesus didn't come to abolish this. He came to fulfill it. So in some ways, we should be looking for, thinking about, what manner, how does Jesus, how is he seen in this? How are we seeing a picture of his healing, his cleansing, and the different aspects that go along with this dealing with skin diseases. And so right there in verse 1, it's interesting. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying this, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priest, and the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore is turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is leprous sore, then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. Now, this is what's interesting as we walk through this. God is speaking, and this isn't just medical things. This is not just, well, they need a prescription from the local, well, they didn't have CVS's and Walgreens, right? This isn't just going to the priest and getting some medical. The point of the text as you walk through is that this disease, they could be leprous, any of these skin maladies, dermatology issues, aren't just medical things. They're having to do with worship and who is allowed to enter in and come in to worship God, or who is called ceremonially unclean and thus unable to gather for worship. So the sickness isn't just of the body. It's pointing to something far greater, because it causes separation in worship and in fellowship. And that's why it's serious and why it's important to see how, when you look at it from a standpoint of sin, not skin, there's many similarities of how being unclean causes problems in worship and can cause problems in the fellowship of the body and the gathering together. So the Israelites learn, and Moses explained here, how if an incident happened where someone had something on their skin, some dermatology issue, some skin disease, they were to bring that to the priest. Now, he has seven distinct different situations that are here. The first one's there in verse 2. If there's a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it's on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, that's the first situation that could be affected. The second is down in verse 9. He says there, when the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought forth to the priest. That develops on the person himself. When there is, in the third situation, according to verse 18, if the body develops a boil on the skin and it's healed, and in the place of the boil there opens up a white swelling and a bright spot, a reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. Down in verse 24, if someone is burnt and there's a burn on by fire, and there's raw flesh there that becomes bright, reddish, white, or white. Verse 29, if a man or woman has an infection on their head or on their chin, then they have to come to the priest and have that inspected. On the sixth situation, down in verse 38, if there are white spots on the skin, the priest has to declare that person unclean until it's remedied. The seventh situation is, gentlemen, if you're bald, all right? And now, baldness is not necessarily bad, all right? It's not something that is bad, but God, you know, as one man said, he said, God made some heads perfect, and then the others he put hair. That's why my parents live in Moorhead City, right? Never mind, I'm just sorry, I know that was bad. All right, anyways, yeah. All right, so, but baldness is not bad, okay? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, right? But there are situations where, because the head is exposed, that have to be, it's more apt to be affected by the sun and so forth. So all of these situations, there's something that's similar. The individual has to come and have that assessed by a priest, to have it presented so that they can examine what's going on. Why? Why is it so serious? Why? I mean, it's just a scab. It's just a reddish spot. It's just some white spots on the skin. Well, the amazing thing is this. When it mentions this, oftentimes it will then say it could be a leprous sore, and that's when it gets bad, right? And you know, the problem isn't just the skin. The problem is when it gets beneath the skin, right? And it's deep within the body. And it's a picture, frankly, I think, of sin. On the surface, it may, here it is, we just need to acknowledge it. But if it's not examined and it's not dealt with, it oftentimes will go deeper. It will go deeper into the individual, into their lives, and cause greater problems. That's why they need to be addressed. And the way to address it, of course, is to bring it to the priest. And there with the priest examines it. He's not necessarily prescribing medical procedures, though he did things at times to do that. But oftentimes, what was done is as that sickness was made aware, oftentimes they were separated. The individuals would be separated from the other fellowship of believers, of those worshipers. They would be isolated in some way. And in that exclusion, they would be sent away sometimes for 7 days. And while they're separated for 7 days, they may wash, they may cleanse, they may use different things to be cleaned. But there's no actual prescription or remedy like, give them you know, two scoops of this and three scoops of that and mix it up. Like, that's not in here. They're sent away. And it's a picture for us that with sin, the only thing that can heal it, humans don't heal it. Only God can. Only God can. Only God can change the heart. And so it highlights that yes, sin has consequences. Sin causes isolation. Sin sometimes is deeper than on, you know, just on the surface. And that's why it has to be examined. It has to be brought forth to the priest. And we need to realize that, like any disease, if it's not dealt with, then the deterioration can get far worse. And it's interesting, isn't it, when God uses this picture, when we'll find in 13, 14, and 15, he never talks about, listen, if you have a headache, you're unclean, you can't come worship. If you have a heart issue, you're unclean and you can't come worship. Why just skin issues? Well, I think that it's because of the reflection of what skin is. While it's an external problem and it's visible, God wanted his people to realize, listen, this is uncleanliness. This is perhaps sin. And in a simple way, if you don't learn to deal with these things, they can progress and get worse. Because that's what sin is. It's not stagnant. You realize that tonight. Jesus would say it's like yeast, right? That gets in a loaf. And what happens when it gets in the loaf? Spreads all throughout. The picture is not just that this would spread all throughout a person's body, go deeper within, but that's why the lepers, even when Jesus met them as he was walking through that region of Samaria, that region of Galilee, and they, it said there in Luke's gospel, we saw that tonight, they had to do what? They had to stand afar off, right? They had to stand away. That was the rule. That was the requirement. I mean, they're going to be told down in verse 47 and 45, I think 45 through 47 here. He's going to say, this is what they have to do. Notice what he says, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes, this is verse 45, shall be torn, his head shall be bare, he shall cover his mustache, and then he shall cry, unclean, unclean, and he shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This isolation, this separation, it's almost a quarantine because of a recognition of what this leprosy could do if it touched other people's lives. That's how we should regard sin, right? That's how you and I, listen, we should loathe it, abhor it. We don't want it. It's contrary to our God. He's holy, and we should hate what God hates, right? And love what God loves. And in this way, the skin disease of leprosy is reflected oftentimes in sin. It's not stagnant, it's insidious. And you may say, well, it's just a couple bumps. Well, that's how it starts out, right? And it starts there, and then it can grow far worse. Now, what's amazing, sin for you and me is incurable. We can't do anything about it. We can't do anything, but Jesus can. Our high priest can. Our high priest can cleanse us. Our high priest can give us, listen, new life. And that's what leprosy really is when it's affecting someone, it's getting in and it's destroying. It's causing the muscle or the nerve endings to no longer have any feeling. And that's what sin does, doesn't it? It numbs you. The more that someone, you know, continues in it, it deceives. And oh, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Reality is you're not. Now, what's amazing is when you get over into John's gospel, actually his epistles, and John speaks there, you know, John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, you know, if we say we have no sin, then we're deceiving ourselves. The truth's not in us. If we get to that point where we're thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, man, I'm telling you, you get a little bit closer to the Lord, because the brighter the light, the more dirt you see, right? And you realize just how desperately we need Jesus each and every day. I mean, that's what Paul did in his life. The closer he got to the Lord in his life, the longer he lived, the more wretched he saw himself and realized, man, God have mercy on me. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving all acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost, he says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, his personal testimony there. He admits it. I'm the bottom of the bucket. And that's later in his life. You see, most forms of sickness cause hurt. But leprosy causes suffering and a numbing and ultimately death, right? And no one could heal it. That's why it was phenomenal. It was amazing when Jesus sent these 10 lepers, just go show the priests. And as they went, they're made well. They're made well. Now again, when you study the history of Israel, there aren't many examples. I mean, if someone is healed of this, it's so miraculous because no one ever saw it. Well, except for, you know, the little servant who told the warrior king, up the warrior general, hey, listen, if you just went and got baptized down in the river, down in the Jordan, you'd be made well. You'd have baby skin. Why can't I be bathed right here? Why can't I? And why do I got to dip 7 times for my skin to be made well? Well, because that's what God said, right? This is the amazing thing. If we're honest with ourselves, if we say we have no sin, we're lying, we're deceiving ourselves. Who can know the heart? It's exceedingly wicked, Jeremiah would say. Who can know it? God does. God knows it clearly. So rather than being a hypocrite, rather than being duplicitous, it's better to say, you know what? If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us and to make us right. Amen? And to forgive us. And that's what we want. We want that cleansing. And that's what you see over and over again. The priest, as he's dealing with all of these ailments, these 7 different types of skin diseases, it's oftentimes repeated over and over again, and they shall be unclean, but then they'll do this and they will be made clean. It's fascinating. In the second half of the section of Leviticus, it moves from the skin to the garments and the problem with mildew, right? Oh, that's a gem. That's always a joy to deal with, right? And well, maybe this is all about hygiene, Pastor Chris, in homes and how to keep your home, you know, Mr. Clean in the house, right? How do we do that? Well, actually, it's highlighting the fact that just like how sin infects deeper than you think, like skin diseases do, when mildew gets into like fabrics, right? And it gets deep down in there. You can't get it out. The effect is so great. And the cleansing that's required. And sometimes when you can't get it clean, do you know what they had to do? Burn it. Take it outside and burn it. Well, that's important. It's important to understand as he's explaining these things. You know, sin is deeper than just the skin. It spreads. And that's why it's serious and you have to deal with it. It doesn't just spread. It defiles the body, and it can defile, listen, not just my body, but the body as well. It doesn't just defile the bodies, but then it causes isolation. You know, when individuals are sinning, they generally don't want to be around people, around others who are trying to live holy, right? Because they're exposed. And so it isolates, and even in this case, the only way that if it can't be cleansed, then it's cast into the fire. It's very serious. The amazing thing is, oftentimes when this individual was set off and for 7 days they'd go and then they'd have to come back in a process. You know, it never talks about how all these cleansings take place, but they come back, and as they're examined and the priest looks at them, what's amazing is to see is some people would be made well. How so? Well, it's a picture for us also for how we deal with sin. When you and I deal with sin, in order for us to be made well, we've got to confess and realize I'm wrong. Something's wrong. I have to repent. I have to have a change of my thinking, my way of living. I have to make a change, and then I come back. And then I can enjoy the fullness of worship with God. And that's what we want. And that's what we want people to experience as well. Now, the amazing thing is, praise the Lord tonight, if we struggle with sin, praise God, we don't have to go to a priest in a temple and be examined. You know, I can just fall on our knees and say, God, search me, oh God. Know me. Try me, right? Try my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, as David would say in Psalm 139, but then lead me in the way everlasting. God, I want to go in the right path, but Lord, I want you to search me, try me, know me. And if there is something, I want to confess it and be made clean. And that's really what sometimes the reason we're not made clean. Until we come to that point of confession, things cannot be made right. But the moment we confess, we can experience God's cleansing. And you know, one of the ways that we are cleansed is by the water of the Word, right? The Word is oftentimes called water. In fact, what did Jesus say? Sanctify them in your Word. Why? Because your Word is truth. If I want to know the truth about the situation and how I need to live and what God would have me to do, then I need to hear the Word and I need to saturate that situation and my heart and my mind with the Word of God and experience cleansing. And the amazing thing is God has a process for us to do it. Praise the Lord. His Spirit enables us to go through this process. And so each day, praise God, we need cleansing. We do every day. It's good to deal with things when you see them right away. You know, as Barney says, nip it in the bud, right? It's the same thing with sin, right? Deal with it right away. Don't let it hang around, because it might get deeper and it's more difficult to deal with. You know, anybody's had to have those squeamer things and all that stuff, right? It gets in your skin and it goes down and they have to cut more. Right? So deal with it. But I'm talking not just about skin diseases. We're talking about sin. It's a disease. Don't tolerate it, church. Let's not. Let's live holy and clean lives. And praise God, there's a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, loose all their guilty stains. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, Jesus, for teaching us tonight, Lord. Put a desire in our hearts to live close and clean, Lord, to examine our lives, Lord, and to pray as David would oftentimes. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my rock and my redeemer, Lord. Search me, try me, know me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. So many times the psalmist would just tell us over and over again, lay our hearts before the Lord, examine us. God, let us be your people, close and clean, the children of God. And Jesus, we look forward to that ultimate cleansing that we'll experience and the new bodies we'll get, and the absence of sin will no longer, praise God, no longer be with us. We thank you for that tonight. We love you and praise you. Be with us this week, Lord, as we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.